Hello everyone, my name is Eli and today we'll be reading from Daniel chapter 7, so get your Bibles out so you can read along. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me there were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but they were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed."
Thanks, Eli. And thanks, everyone. That was a fun little activity. Got my blood flowing. Earlier in the year, I made the claim that Safari is my favorite time of the year. This year was going to be a tough win, though, as I did get married. All I've been advised to say on this front is that Safari was really good. Stu often says that Safari's a bit like of a slice of heaven. And, you know, God's people under God's rule in his place. And I think he's right. Apart from being tired at the end of camp, I think it really is a little slice of heaven. Before we get into it, why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Safari. Thank you that your hand was so clearly over the camp. We pray that through Safari you might grow followers of Jesus as people grow in their faith or hear about you for the first time. Help us to understand your word now as we wrap up what has been an amazing week. Amen. As you've already seen, Safari is full of lots of fun activities. You know, you've got the big games, you've got the country night and the beach fun. But one big part of Safari is the day visit. So we'll spend a day, we'll go somewhere like bounce, or one year we went like go-karting. We'd go and do an activity somewhere. This year, on Monday, we were heading to the Big Banana to go ice skating. What fun! I love ice skating. Many of the youth expressed how excited they were for this. Some people even thought it might be their highlight of the trip. However, on Monday morning, as we're leaving Old Bonobo, you know, there's no reception in Old Bonobo. So I'm sitting on the bus, and then all of a sudden it's like, whooping, you're getting notifications. Okay, I got service. Now, one of these notifications I got was an email from the Big Banana saying, please call me when you can. Oh, no. Something bad must have happened. So I call the Big Banana man, and he says to me that over the night, there's been a mechanical malfunction and the ice rink has melted. I don't know. I was devastated. I don't know if like a worker went out to go for a bit of a slide before he started his shift and got a nasty surprise, or, you know, maybe the big ice tractor was coming out and just fell into a pool of water. most likely a heap of alarms went off or something boring. But the ice rink we were meant to be skating on had melted. It was now an ice bath. Now, I'm not complaining about the Big Banana. We went there and they had some other activities and we had a great time. But we thought we were going ice skating. But the future is actually not in our control. We don't know what the future holds. It's out of our control. But we have such a fascination with the future, don't we? You know, we love to try to figure out what's happening tomorrow, what's the weather going to be like, what's going to happen in the stock market. We watch TV shows and movies full of time travel, like The Avengers, you got The Flash and Doctor Who. We're obsessed with the future. And I'm sure we would love to have some kind of a vision to help us understand what is to come. And that is exactly what happens in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1 to 14. Daniel has a vision of the future, or God shows him a vision of the future. Now, as we've heard in the book of Daniel, there's lots of visions and dreams. And usually it's the king of Babylon who is having these visions and dreams. And then they're looking for someone who can interpret it. And along comes Daniel, and God reveals the dream to him. And then he tells the king. But not in this chapter. It's actually different. It's not King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not some other king of Babylon who's having a dream. It's actually Daniel. He's having this vision. And he is the one who actually needs it to be interpreted for him. Today, as we look in Daniel 7, we're going to see how God has secured our future. We can take heart because he's secured our future. We're going to see this as we look at the beasts and the Son of Man. So through both these points, we're going to see that there is evil in the world and our future is secure. So the beasts and the Son of Man. Now, I'm a pretty good swimmer and I love the sea, except sometimes when I go to the beach, there's nothing I can do against the power of the ocean. One time in particular, I was at Broome's Head and I was surfing. I'm not a good surfer, but I was having a crack, you know. And it was a pretty rough day, like clouds were thundering, there was big waves rolling in. And I went to catch this wave, and I stood up on my board, and I looked down, and all the water is just being sucked into this wave. And I can see the sand. And I'm like, oh no. And I drop in, and I fall, and smack. I hit the sand, and then the wave crashes on top of me. It left me bruised and battered. The ocean is such an uncertain and chaotic place, isn't it? And in Daniel's vision, he sees four wicked, crazy beasts emerge up out of the sea. Check it out with me from verse 2 and 3. Verse 2, Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea." So Daniel sees these crazy beasts come up out of the sea because the sea was considered a place that was out of control. You know, it's where chaos reigns. It's where evil emerges. But what on earth is going on here? What could this vision of sea and four beasts possibly mean for Daniel or for us? Well, later in the chapter, in the bit that we didn't read, an explanation's given to Daniel. And you should read it later if you get the chance. It's pretty cool. But these four beasts represent four kings which will reign on the earth. They are represented by beasts because they're wicked, they're evil. They emerge from the sea because the world is an evil place full of chaos. And lots of people have tried to figure out, you know, which kings in our history might these beasts have represented. But I don't think it really matters, because I think what the passage is trying to tell us is two things. It's the evil in the world and the future. Firstly, I think the beasts show that there is evil in the world. You know, evil kings and sinful people. This earth is marked by chaos. And I think Daniel can relate to this, can't he? As we've heard in a bit of the context we've been given and we heard earlier in the week, Daniel's a Jew, right? And at the start of the book of Daniel in chapter 1, his home is destroyed. And they're taken away from their home to live in Babylon. Daniel, he's living as a foreigner in a place which is not his home. And he is constantly being threatened as he lives God's way. In a place where many different gods are worshipped. You know, as we heard, he's threatened to be cut into pieces. His friends get thrown into a furnace. He gets thrown into a lion's den. He understands the chaos and evil in the world. And our world, it's not so much different now, is it? It's full of evil and chaos. You know, wars overseas and pandemics and missing submarines. Even in our personal lives, you know, we've got messy relationships with our friends and families. But evil isn't just out there in the world. It's easy to say, oh, there's evil out there. Yet we are the ones who say mean things to our friends, who drag each other down, who talk crap behind other people's back because we think it's funny, and we make fun of that guy on our soccer team who's just not as good as us, you know. We gossip about the weird girl. We watch evil things on our phone because we think no one's watching. We are full of sin. We are beastly. It's not just the world out there and the kings and rulers of our world that are beastly. We are beastly. This passage shows us that there is evil in the world and in us. But it also shows the future for Daniel. A future of chaos, of evil, where wicked kings will rule. The first part of Daniel's vision shows us a frightening future, especially for Daniel. But then, I don't know if you noticed, then God appears. The Ancient of Days comes onto the scene and he flips the world and the beasts upside down. In fact, in our next passage, we're going to see how God actually promises that he's going to send a savior because he's got a plan for the future. One Christmas, when I was back in kids' church, my leader promised me a bag of Mars bars. Often at Christmas times, you know, at Christmas carols, you might have been to one before, one of our Christmas carols, the kids come up and they perform their song for everyone, and it's really quite cute, and you get to see all of the kids singing some beautiful Christmas carol. Well, when I was on stage, my leader came up to the group and said, I will give a bag of Mars bars to whoever sings the loudest. That's really dangerous words to say to a young Cameron. Now, you can imagine all the parents eagerly awaiting to hear their kids singing, and all they can hear is me screaming at the top of my lungs, Away in a Manger or Silent Night. That night wasn't silent. But the sad news is I never got my Mars bars. I know. Even the leader told me one day he had them in his car and then he ate them. But I never got them. But in Daniel chapter 7, from verse 13 and 14, God is promising that he will send a savior who will set up an eternal kingdom for his people. But unlike my kids' church leader, God will actually keep his promise. He promises he will send a savior and he will keep it. Read along with me from verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Just before this passage, we saw the Ancient of Days come on to the scene, and he is God. He appears, he destroys the beasts. And then here, we're introduced to the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the Son of Man who will be given authority. He'll call all people to himself and bring the everlasting, indestructible kingdom. And this must have been great news for Daniel, right? And the Israelites, because they needed a Savior to come, to save them from the beasts, to save them from Babylon, to take them home. Daniel, he's being promised that a Savior will come. Now we know, living this side of the cross, that Savior is Jesus. About 500 years after Daniel's time, Jesus comes, and he refers to himself as the Son of Man. And he fulfills the vision which Daniel has. He came to be the true king. No more evil, wicked, beastly kings, but a good king. He isn't a beast, he's a man. Can you see the contrast? You know, you've got the beast and the man. Jesus is the Son of Man, the true king. And more than just being the true good king, Jesus also came to destroy the beast inside us. Jesus came, he came and died on the cross, so that if we have faith in him, God can't see the beast inside us. And by dying on the cross, Jesus also secured our future. Jesus died so that if we have faith in him, we can live in his eternal kingdom, where the beast will be gone for good. Jesus, after dying, rose from the dead and went to be with God. But he said he will return and he will establish his new kingdom, which cannot pass away. It will not be destroyed. It's everlasting. Just as Daniel's vision tells us, a kingdom where there are no beasts, he's also secured our future. Now, I don't think I'm ever going to get my Mars bars, but I know, what I do know, is that Jesus has secured my future, just as he promised Daniel he would. You can take heart if your faith is in Jesus, because he has secured your future. Now, on Monday morning, when we were on the bus leaving to the big banana, I thought I was going ice skating. Little did I know that the ice rink had melted into a 50-meter freestyle swimming pool. Took me all night to think of that one. Look, we don't know what the future has in store. We don't know what the future has in store, or do we? The Bible actually shows us what will happen when Jesus returns, but we don't actually know what will happen between now and then. God has secured our future, but we don't know when Jesus will return. We don't actually know what the future holds whilst we live on this earth. But Daniel chapter 7 tells us that two things are certain. Firstly, that there will be evil in the world. Sin in the world whilst we wait for Jesus to return. Bad things will happen to us. As we have leaders who are beastly, we live in a world that is chaotic and we ourselves are beastly. We shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen. When we injure ourselves and we fight with our friends, when we get a mystery mark in the HSE, when the people around us fall sick, when people make fun of us because we believe in Jesus, these things will happen. We live in a world which is full of evil. But the second thing which is certain is that no matter what happens, no matter how evil the kings and rulers we have are, no matter how broken the world is, God will come and he will destroy the beast. And Jesus will set up his eternal kingdom where those who have faith in what he has done will live forever. So what that means for us is while we live on this earth, waiting for Jesus to return and establish his kingdom, we can fight the beast inside us. We can fight sin. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, He promised that he would send a helper to help us live while we're here. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent his Spirit down to help us live and fight our sin. Tim Chester has a book called You Can Change, and he describes how we can fight our sin. This is what he says. He says, the Spirit gives us the desire to do what is right and opposes our old sinful desires to do what is wrong. Our job is to follow the Spirit. Imagine a child being taught to paint by their father. He wraps his fingers around theirs and guides each stroke of the brush. The Spirit is God's guiding hand in our lives. Whenever we want to do the wrong thing or react the wrong way, the Spirit opposes those desires. We're all sinful. The Spirit helps us wrestle with the beast inside us. It opposes the beast. It means that when everyone is making fun of someone at school, you can actually say, no, I don't want to do that. Or you could even tell them to stop. It means that when our friends are saying horrible things about the teacher or the boss, you don't have to join in. The Spirit helps us wrestle the evil desires within us. It means that when we have the urge to watch things on our phone like porn that we shouldn't, we can say no. When we have hateful, evil thoughts for the people behind us when they're tailgating us, when everyone is gossiping and we know we shouldn't, the Spirit helps us fight this battle. And also live the way that God wants us to, loving our friends, loving our family, loving our enemies, and loving our God. We can also wrestle the beast inside us and put sin to death by getting to know Jesus better, knowing everything that he's done for us. Or just as we've learned this week, we can know that God is always with us and he's in control. But also, if you are struggling and wrestling with sin, you can talk to a leader. You can talk to someone in your gospel community. We can help each other. So we can fight the beast inside us, our sin, and we can also remember the future which God has secured. See, Jesus will establish his kingdom. So while we live, we can remind ourselves of this. 2 Corinthians 4 16 and 17, which was read out at the start, really screams to me here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. When your friends make fun of you, when your friends and family relationships are messy, when you break your arm a week before camp, when you lose 6-0 in soccer every week, when you cut off the tips of your fingers, or worse, in the midst of anxiety and depression, when things look bleak, when things are really hard, you can remember the future which Jesus has secured for you. Paul calls his troubles light and momentary compared to what's in store. And he is suffering a lot. What Jesus has achieved for us, he says, outweighs our light and momentary troubles. We can fix our eyes on the future which Jesus has secured, his eternal kingdom. If you have faith in Jesus, your future is secure. And if you cling to that, then nothing can tear you away from this future. We do not lose heart, we take heart. We fight the beast inside and remember the future which Jesus has secured, that he has won for us. You can take heart if your faith is in Jesus, but if you don't have faith in Jesus or you haven't made that decision for yourself, maybe you just come to church because that's what you've always done, or maybe your parents make you come. I hope you can see the future which God has promised his people. It's only available for those who have faith in Jesus. And what hope do you have without it? You can take heart because Jesus has secured your future, and he also helps us live now while we wait. If your faith is in him, I hope you might consider knowing him better, or I hope that you might consider knowing him for the first. and being able to take heart. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember Daniel 7 and the future that it shows. Help us remember that our future is secure, and help us live for you now while we wait. Help us to know that you are with your people, you are in control, and that you have secured our future. Amen.